Would you do this with me just as an honor and a reverence? And how many know anything that you honor and reverence, you know that it's already good, but God can even increase it. Amen? And so if you would you just give a big praise offering for our praise and worship team that goes far above and beyond and gives God all of what they have in Jesus' name? Come on. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to I'm going to bless you. We're going to go with what we have, and I'm sure that we all will get to the place where God wants us all together. And everybody said amen. Welcome to BCC, the Body of Christ Church. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, thank you for being with us. Amen. Listen, here's the question I want to ask, just kind of throwing out a little question. What are you getting yourself into? Amen. Amen. And so, I mean, understand that not only when you visit a church, you can do all of the reading and literature. I've gone through different websites of churches, and they try to prepare you of what's to come and all of that. But how many understand you just can't prepare somebody for crazy? Amen. You can't really describe crazy. You can't really describe what's going to happen when God is going to do something that blows our natural mind. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. So I just want to say it again and say, what are you getting yourself into? Say that with me. What are you getting yourself into? I'm thankful that you're asking. They're passing out Bibles right now. You are going to make use of them. So if you will, let's go ahead and get those distributed. Amen. God's got a lot of great things going on for us here at the beginning of the semester. But I want to just do some preaching and some training and move myself along for those, especially that have just come back. Maybe you've been gone for the summer, or maybe perhaps you missed just that little break between summer school and fall, or whatever it may be. This is a special Sunday. I just want to get it here. It says, we want to share what I classify as being what's unlimited. Our primary purpose is to picture or perceive our vision and prepare us to run with the vision. In teaching these trainings, BCC is to see and experience specific traits of being the heart of God in our world. These are being done as sessions and sections. Not so much necessarily trying to preach or to teach or to even be so decorative in what I unfold in the scriptures as much as we are attempting to do some training that we might learn and embrace together what God wants us to do with our lives. Amen? And so therefore, I like to share with you that what is this unlimited, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything except for something that's been dormant in my heart for a long time, just another area of leadership and discipleship that I believe God wants to launch and birth from us, and that is what I call unlimited leadership training and discipleship that will make you unlimited. Amen? And so therefore, this particular trainings are coming with this particular overall phrase, see God say, may you run with the vision. See God say, may you run with the vision. We have comprised this whole particular training out of understanding the beginning of Habakkuk. So he asked the question, that's a red tower, symbolism of ancient times. And he says, what do you see? Because Habakkuk went up on that tower and looked out over the coastland and looked over the land and began to see things that, you know, you couldn't see if you're right in the middle of it. And as a result of that same kind of example, God took me out of Ames, took me out of BCC, took me out of whatever was my natural surroundings, all of my comforts, all of the circles in which I would go in, even some of the same songs, same preachings, and put me in a place where I could see something different. Somebody say amen. Amen. And as a result of that, finally, my eyes have seen what can be. A vision of my heart and spirit in real, live, active form. The word form there refers back to the scriptures where you can say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we can have a form of godliness but denying the power therein. Somebody say amen. You can meet on Sundays. You can have great Bible studies. Matter of fact, you can put up really big sanctuaries and tabernacles and put all kinds of names on it. And how many understand that you can hold a great church, you can have great finances, but you might still be denying the power therein. And therefore, what that means right there is my heart and spirit in real, live, active form. Now, we will lead BCC to see it. We may not necessarily be able to take everyone to see the same things. And even if we did, you might see something different. But we want to do everything we can to cause people to see it and be it. To see it and be it. Out of that comes Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 and verse 14. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And everybody said, praise God. I know I'm going a little swift. You can keep up with me. Everybody say, praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's going fast today. Turn to your other neighbor and say, he's trying to get somewhere. Aha, now we understand, right? Says this, that he may run who reads it. We have revealed and understood. This is not just some little fancy little thing to say, R&R. It says it right there. If you read it, you can run with it. If you read it, you can run with it. If you what? Then you can? You can run with the vision. Verse 3 says it this way. This vision is for a future time. It is described. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Verse 4, in that verse, there's three portions of it. The last part, or C, says this, but the just shall live by their faith. But the what? Just. Shall live by their what? Faith. Amen. When you drop down to verse 14, it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I want to share just shortly what is vision. Say, what is vision? What is vision? Or vision revelation is simply this. Vision in Habakkuk, as well as in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7, started with a complaint. It started with a complaint. And therefore, a revelation for your life might start from you being dissatisfied in some area. A major revelation that could transform and change the whole course and direction of your life might come out of some form of a dissatisfaction, a want, a need, some kind of question that you have, a frustration that's been ongoing and longing, and you either feel empty or you feel overwhelmed. I'm just tired of it. I can't get any help up in here. And when you bring with something like that to some people, people may not have answers for you. But when we bring those same frustrations to God, God always has an answer for you. And it's called a revelation and a vision. So when you have a point where you feel like you're stuck or stopped, God has not said you're stuck or stopped. God can get you out of it either by asking you to be still and see the salvation of the Lord, or he can give you the power to get up and over and out the thing. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. I hope I'm not losing you. Praise God. Amen. So therefore, vision revelation is a mental picture of what could be, fueled by a passion of what should be. A mental picture of what could be. Here I want to talk about the abstract. Some of us are very analytical. Some of us are very A-type. Some of us want to see it black and white. We want the tires to meet the road. God is not absent of those who see life like that, but he asks us to do both. See the abstract and write down the tangible. See the abstract and write down the tangible. Reach into the realm of the spirit. The things that are eternal are invisible, but the things that are temporal are here on earth. Therefore, God says, get the vision and then write it down. He wants us to be spiritual and natural. Somebody say, praise God. Fueled by a passion. Everybody say, passion. In order for a vision to come to pass, you've got to have passion. You've got to be able to have a want to, a desire, a hunger, a thirst, a desire, a pant. And some of us, God forbid that life has been so oppressive to us that we've retreated back to a numbness. I'm not going to show high emotion upward, and I'm not going to show low emotion. I'm just going to be numb where I can't feel it. See God say. The blue gives the overall training. See God say. Verses for BCC vision. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. I will read them swiftly. See God say. This is what we saw God say. So this became, out of this birth, the vision. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we, where? Where? As He is, Jesus, as Jesus is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So therefore, we write the vision. We wrote the vision. We've written it. We went into homes. We've shared it a few years ago. God has allowed us to stay with it, though it tarried. Listen, I mean, I wish somebody could write, pull up a computer or something and remember when we had that season and that session where we went around the different homes in the town in order to declare and share forth the vision. And that's several years ago. And now here we are some years later. But do you remember in Habakkuk, it says that wait for it patiently. Though it tarry, it shall come to pass. Let me say it another way. Somebody speaks a word over you, and just because it happened on November 13th, you can't be sad because it didn't happen on November 14th. Amen? We've got to wait for it. Got to be patient. It's going to come to pass. It is true. I'm going to hold on to it. Is everybody with me? How many understand? I believe we ought to hold on the promises of Jesus Christ more than we hold on a lottery ticket. Therefore, we are the heart of God in our world. The vision is we are the heart of God in our world. Say that with me. We are the heart of God in our world. So it said, make the vision plain. I'll give a little revelation about vision. Vision enlightenment is this. When you have a vision, you do it by defining a problem. The problem that we experience and that we see is that more and more today, people do not know God. And because people do not know God, people know rules and people know churchianity. And people know, they call it and say, God, you know, people, you know, it don't matter who you are, you know that God loves, right? I mean, everybody know God loves you, right? But some of us have not understood that God loves us at a price that he paid, but more like God loves us because we think love is God. Y'all didn't get that, did you? In other words, you think love is God, not that God is love. In other words, some of us draw more to love than we do God. In other words, wherever we feel love, that's where we go, and we think it's love. But there is a way that leads a man that could end in destruction. But how many understand, if you lay a hold of God, God is love. Now you understand what I'm saying. A vision ought to offer a solution. The solution for us is that wherever there is division, there ought to be love. Wherever there's darkness, there ought to be light. In the world today where there is hatred or where there is people that want to hold you to a rule or a law or look down on you because you failed in some way, we want to be able to know that Jesus Christ did not do that to us. He offers us grace, mercy, and peace. Not only that he did not leave us as orphans, but he moved on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And now God himself, the same one that spoke everything into existence, lives on the inside of me. Somebody ought to say amen. It explains why us and why urgently. And it's because we believe that God created BCC with this call in mind. And therefore, in order to make the vision plain, we've got to seek clarity, we've got to cast it, and we've got to write it to see it. We call it the pray book. Many people, businesses, and organizations call it a playbook. We call it a pray book. And therefore, in it is the vision, values, and our mission. We will communicate it and over-communicate it. And when we're tired about it, we're going to communicate it some more. I believe that that's what God would have us to do as in order to fulfill it. Can you imagine, just say with me, Ryan. Can you imagine Ames? Just imagine Ames. Imagine Ames full of people who knew the heart of God. I know I'm speaking fast, but you could get that one, right? Can you imagine that there was just, you know, just you pass people, you might have cut them off, you know, didn't mean to do it or whatever, and you just no more fingers. Some of y'all ducked at that one. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Wait a minute. Can you imagine that little Johnny and little JJ at school got into it over some truck or whatever, and little Johnny just says to JJ, "It's okay, JJ. You can have the truck. My mommy taught me that Jesus loves, and I want to love you, so you can have the truck." Is that a forest, or can we really imagine that? I could get some parents up here to testify that they would like that not to be done at school, but just in their own home. I can't get any help up in here, amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, can you imagine? If the whole community knew the heart of God, somebody say amen. As we discover, listen, as we discover and develop, we will put forth the mission. We don't have that right now, but we're going to put that down. But our values are this: to be intentional responders to the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. To be intentional responders to the Holy Spirit and the supernatural. To be multi-ethnic, to be free, and to be hospitable, to go way out our way. Get this, to be way out our way. And as Pastor Jeremy said when I came in the other day, he said, that's a whole lot of stickers. Amen. How many understand? That means a team of people or somebody came in here to make it beautiful for us because we believe in hospitality. And just in case you can't see the shape, how many understand we are the heart of God? So the beauty of it is that from the heart flows everything else, everywhere else. That's a good word. That is a good word. They do deserve that. Amen. So therefore, what we're talking about is faith to live and give the knowledge, like in verse 14, the glory of the Lord. BCC has a unique call to this community. BCC has a unique call to this community. I hope I can get that across by the end today. The kingdom of God culture of Christ. Say that with me. The kingdom of God culture of Christ. The thematic goal that we have right now is to run with the vision. Now get this. This is not Pastor Turan run with the vision. This is not staff and leaders run with the vision. This isn't, oh, their spouses run with. This isn't growing in maturity and the elders run with the vision. This is BCC run with the vision. This is who? BCC. Run with the vision, amen? It's run with the vision. So therefore, we've gone through two sessions. See God say, may you run with the vision, training new norms. That's a beautiful phrase, new norms. The way we're going to run with the vision is that we have to establish new norms. And I know it takes a lot to break down old norms in order to establish new norms. But we're attempting to break down old norms, even if they sound like these ones we've tried to do before. Seriously, this time, they're either going to be broken or somebody's going to be left behind. Because we're going to go forward with what God called us to. Amen. So here it is. In session one, we talked about we have to be all in to win. We have to be all in to win. How many understand? With Gideon, there were 32,000 and they got him down to 300. But when they got him down to 300, all 300 was in. Yes, it's very obviously we're being reduced. You know what? That's okay. Let's get us all reduced down till we get everyone that's in. Everybody say amen. Amen. So therefore, so that we might win. This is the story you are in. Session two was we want to see, and you're going to see that picked up a little bit today. We want to see what the heart of God looks like. We see it by hunger. We see it by hunger. We see it by how? Hunger. We see it by hunger. And I don't want to branch into this because it's not in the notes. Listen, we are not trying or we're not going toward being a ministry or a church that is theological, so high astute and high minded where we know all of the Bible. This is very important. Because what happens when you do that, God never calls us to be in classrooms. He didn't call us to be theologians. He called us to be disciples. And as a result of being disciples or followers, then we ought to be able to do, live, and experience what God did. Here's the point. I'll slow down. The issue is that we oftentimes want more and more. We think because we do have things in God or we don't have things in God based on how much we know or don't know. Listen, it doesn't matter if we study the Bible all night long. It could just be a good book. Coming into the power of God comes by experience. We're not talking about living off of our experiences. But when you experience God in the earth, nobody can convince you that he's not real. How many understand if you pray for something and you see it happen, you don't care what theologian says it wasn't supposed to happen because you know it happened and I heard what you said, but I know what God did. I understand how much you know, but I know what God did. And whatever you say, I was a sinner, but now I'm walking in righteousness. I know my mama was sick. I know it says it wasn't supposed to get healed, but after she got prayed for, oil, laid hands on her, she came out of that situation and now she's free from sin. She's free from illness. I don't know what you said, theologian, but I've got living proof that our Jesus raised from the dead and he still heals today. Amen. Guess what? And that will make you hungry to want to see it again. Glory to God. Woo. So what we're going to deal with now is worshiping at BCC. Say, uh-oh. Come on, you got to look at your neighbor and look a little, like a little fretful. Say, uh-oh. No, seriously, say, uh-oh. That's it, boy. Worshiping at BCC. This is an absolute gorgeous picture, amen? This, what is this a picture of? And you don't have to be so specific like you know exactly which one it is. That's not the point. The point is, what is it? Bridge. It's a what? Everybody say bridge. How many understand that if you were going to go across this bridge, you might be hesitant? How many understand you would take a lot of precaution? To some degree, depending on the situation or case, how many understand you might not even use it? Is everybody with me? How many understand you might not even use it because it's so foggy? You can't see through it. You can't see to it. You don't even know if it's there or not. But how many understand it's a what? It's a what? It's a bridge. And I hope to be able to communicate in the next few moments of why this picture is so filling our screen and why I would want to bring it out and hopefully imprint it upon your heart and in your soul. It's a bridge. And I want to talk about Training Session 3, Section A. And it's called Bridge Crossing. Bridge Crossing. And what is a bridge crossing, Pastor? Where worship evangelizes. Where worship evangelizes. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's establish some basics. This is going to be really good teaching for some. Recurrency for others, but it's very necessary. Let's establish some basics because I realize that at some point there are things that we say and we expect and we think everybody understands, but how many understand? We shake our heads like we understand, but how many know we may not understand, right? How many know we be in church and church, you know, you be like, and so-and-so, and you be like, yeah, what they talking about? Turn to the book of Zephaniah. Would you read it? Oh, hold on, hold on. Let me. So right now, sister, if you didn't let us know, we wouldn't have even known that was you. I probably, we wouldn't even know, amen. Establish some basics. Read these five basics for us. What is praise in song, right? Number two, what is worship? Meaning in song, we're still talking about that. Some of us could take it outside of song. Worship is your whole life. True, but we're talking about in song, amen? Number three, why do we say God inhabits our praise? Amen? I mean, have you been in church and saw that before? I heard that. Anybody? Good. Number four, why can praise and worship be used as spiritual battle and warfare? Everybody with me? And number five, go ahead and read it. How can we have praise and worship, but different cultures, that's supposed to be genres, I'm not sure if that's spelled right, I'm sorry about that, genres and valuing beliefs. How can we have praise and worship, but have different cultures, genres, and valuing beliefs? Everybody with me? Can y'all talk back to me a little bit? Amen. Thank you. So here's to establish some basics. What is praise in song? The word praise means to shine, to boast, or to glorify. It means to shine, to boast, or to glorify. Matter of fact, the word glorify means to shine, right? So to praise means to make a fool of, to make into a fool, to act madly or to act like a madman. Amen. It, see? I'm asking, I'm daring you, go. Greek, Hebrew, Hallel is the Hebrew word. Look it up. I don't care who you do it with. That's what you, just let me know if you come back with something different. These are the definitions of the word praise. The word praise means to make a fool of, to make into a fool, to act madly, to act like a madman. And in the Greek, it means to recommend, promise, or allow. So to praise is to make allowance. To praise is to keep that vow, to keep that promise. To praise. What does it mean to worship? Worship means a call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord is to exalt God with his name. That's why his name means so much. That's why we pray in his name. We worship in his name. It means to call upon the name of the Lord. To worship is to call upon the name of the Lord. It means to work, labor, or serve. To work, labor, or serve. And it means to kiss. It means to what? It means worship means to what? As in reverence and awe, where we get intimacy. So to worship is to have intimacy with God. To worship is to have intimacy with God. It's to have intimacy with God. And I'm going to just say this to unmarried and single especially. I so much believe that we ought to be so engaged and so hungry and so desirous of God who is ahead of our lives with great sense of worship and intimacy, the people that ought to be all going after God with everything they have, especially ought to be the people that are unmarried. Amen. Amen. To kiss as in reverence. How many understand we ought to desire a kiss with God more than we have a kiss with a date? It's a good word. Why do we say God inhabits our praise? Because of Psalms 22, verse 3 says this, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits, or that means enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In other words, God inhabits, or he is enthroned by our praises. So when we come together with God and we praise God, we make our boast to God, we glorify God, we shine forth God, God is enthroned upon our praises. Praise God. So therefore, how many understand if that's what God does when we're worshiping him? Ooh, Lord. If we really believe that God is real, then how many understand I wouldn't be holding back anything from God if he's going to be enthroned by me giving him up some boast. You know what? I want to go somewhere. I didn't mean to go. Say renewing of the mind. The Bible says that our minds have to be renewed so that we might be transformed. By the renewing of our mind, get this, so that we might prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. Amen. And I just realized out of our quietness. If I just, this is my thought. I know we're intellectually trying to receive it all, but listen. If we were preaching the type of message that you're about to get something, there would be a lot more reaction. Are you with me? But when we learn how to really be followers and worshipers of God, all these other things would be added unto us. Is everybody with me? So let's learn the deeper things so that God will show us the easy things. Is everybody with me? So in the, and I'm not looking for a response. I told you, we're going forward. But here's the point, is that no matter what I have on my mind, I got 7 classes this year, and oh my goodness, I wasn't supposed to take 21 credits or whatever, and you haven't even started school yet. You're worrying about what's to come, and you're just not even there yet. Now I caught us where we're tripping, right? But what if I'm not there yet, but God, I've got today. I don't know about tomorrow, but I've got today. And what I have today, I'm going to give you all of what I got. I pray, go, God, you're the man. I don't know how you're going to get me through that class. I don't understand math, but I'm going to give it up to you, God, right now. My brother, Gogo Peters, CPA, he died, got killed on the side of a road. His testimony was that he never passed math, and he became an accountant. Oh, wow. How many understand Jesus Christ can do for you far greater than what you cannot do for yourself? Amen. Say hunger. Hunger. Why can praise and worship be used as spiritual warfare to win battles in life? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, best passage for it, I think. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper or succeed." Verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise to the Lord, caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves, the armies of Moab and Ammon, and turned against their allies from Mount Seir to kill every one of them after they had destroyed the army of Zair. They began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived, they looked out the point in the wilderness, and all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemies had escaped. Somebody ought to say praise God. Do y'all see what just happened? In other words, because they gave praise and sang songs and put the praise and worship team before the army, the praise and worship team went forward and they moved by God, praised and worship. He inhabited their praises and caused the enemy to be confused, and they got the victory because they were more willing to praise and worship God than they were willing to worry. When I talk about believing, I want to challenge what we know in our minds. Do you really believe that if I pray, however this means that God is getting the victory for me, will I actually do it? Praise God. Good challenge. Number 5, how can we praise and worship but different cultures, genres, and values and beliefs? Revelations 14:2 says it this way. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters. Like the sound of what? Like the sound of what? Many waters. And like the sound of a louder thunder, like a loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of what? Harpists playing on the harps. And they sang a new song. I am working with this today. Okay. And they sang a new song. Can I get you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7? Luke chapter 7. Everybody say bridge crossing. Amen. Be persistent. In Luke chapter 7, a very familiar text, but I'm going to read it today not from the New Living, but from the New King James. And there's a specific reason, as we'll look at why. But I want to begin at verse 36. And I hope to take a moment to really be able to lay into the text. Here it is, starts at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, talking about Jesus, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a what? Twice, right? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom forgave more. Everybody got that? And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Notice what Jesus is saying about her. They called her a sinner. They called her a what? This is what Jesus says about her. Then he turned to the woman. Jesus didn't call her sinner. Jesus called her woman. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, her what? Which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And everybody said, amen. Everybody say bridge crossing. In this particular text, one of the most beautiful and intimate texts that I love dearly. And one of the reasons I love this text dearly, and it became even more passionate, Jesus spoke it to me this week or last week. And as a result of this text, these few things can be highlighted. It's just easy to just call this worship. And the reason we want to do that is because I want you to notice who it was. This is very huge and important. It was a sinner. It was a what? It was a sinner. Now, I am not going against that we should call ourselves saved because Christ has paid our price and we're no longer sinners. We're saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I am with that. I believe that. We're just looking at this particular scripture because of something else. This is before the cross. Oh, we didn't get that. This is before the cross or before salvation. And as a result of it being before the cross and before salvation, for her, we cannot proclaim the same things that it is for us. Yes. And as a result of what I can't proclaim what it is for us, is different than it is from her, we can look through the cross and see something about God that he's given unto us because he gave it to her and the cross hadn't even been accomplished yet. Jesus Christ comes to someone who is a Pharisee or someone that knows the Bible, the law, extremely well. And as a result of knowing the law, all of its commandments, regulations, all of everything about it, even every grammatical point in it, they themselves invite Jesus over to their house. Jesus does not discriminate whose house he goes to. So therefore, he goes out to the richest, and he doesn't mind hanging out with you and me. He goes to the house, and notice Jesus never complains about the gentleman's hospitality or the rituals by which they should have been offered unto him. What happens instead, Jesus Christ, at this festivity of this dinner with those that know the law, know everything that's right, know what's supposed to be regulations, know how he's supposed to be treated as a prophet, he sits there anyway, and a sinner steps into the house. All I'm trying to get us all to run around and understand is this. If there is going to ever be a house in BCC where there's liberty for everybody to worship, it has to be not just the people that think they're doing right, not just the people that's living everything in the Bible, but there has to be a place where those that are the lowest down, who's not gone through anything, who really hasn't even known who God is, and they can still come in here and worship God with all of their heart, with all of their might. Why? Because we are the heart of God. And when we look through the cross, we see Jesus' nature of being like his father, that he would cause the lady to come in and worship him. In other words, it doesn't matter what state or condition you're in, we are all supposed to worship God exuberantly. I have reason to believe in this training that some of us feel a little bit more freer because we've been doing things like we think is right. And some people still quiet, still holding back because you felt like you haven't been doing right. This house is to be a house, right, wrong, indifferent, color, skin, background, what you wearing, what you didn't have to wear, shower, no shower, shampoo, no shampoo. My God, we want a house that is full of worshipers because they know that we, even in Psalms says what? Everything that has breath has nothing to do with being right. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Why? Because it's not based on our righteousness. And in her case, it wasn't even based on the cross. It was based on Jesus. How many understand? If we get around Jesus, we'll want to worship him. When we get around God, we will want to worship him. I am not denouncing the cross. I am raising up Jesus because he was Jesus before the cross. He was Jesus on the cross. And when he was afterwards, he was raised from the grave, and now he's glorified forevermore. He was able to be worshiped before, during, and after. Somebody give them praise. How much more if you've done something wrong and you come in on Sunday, it's the best place to be because you can come in and worship him. You can come in and praise him. Somebody say amen. Not only that, notice what else it is. Jesus, I'll skip over parts. Jesus stops and says he's going to demonstrate something. He's not putting on condemnation. He's demonstrating something. He said, you know what? I've been here, and you haven't kissed me. You haven't anointed me. You haven't greeted me. And I wonder who he's talking to. That's a good word. I don't ever. Not from this Sunday forward. This is training. From this forward Sunday, I don't ever want any of us to have to say, how come we're not worshiping? How come we're not praising God with all we can? There is nothing separating you from worshiping God. There's nothing separating you from praising Him. How many understand if Iowa State has a winning season this year, this town will go ballistic? I inclusive might have to be fainted because I've never seen it, but that's all right. I'll still be happy about it. But how much more? Every season of Jesus has always been victorious. Every single battle Jesus has been in, He wins. Every single illness ends in still His victory. Everything that you go through that's in darkness, He's still the light in it. How many understand? God even told me this week, I was anxious about a few things, and God says, calm down. It's going to be all right. How many understand you want Jesus to be on your side into the level and degree that no matter what you're in, no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark it is, Jesus just passed you, gives you shalom, peace, and says, it's going to be all right. That's Jesus, and He deserves to be worshiped. Give Him praise offering in Jesus' name. So then He turns to the woman. I want you to hear this. He turns to the woman, and He realizes, now I understand, they question Him being the authority, because He says, if He was a prophet, He would know that this woman is a sinner. How many understand they was right half the way? He did know what she was. All I'm trying to get you to understand is that we have no reason to hide from God. God already knows what we've been in. God already knows in our weakness and our frailties. God already knows where we've fallen short at. God already knows where we were last night and the night before. God already knows what thoughts we had against somebody. But our God, knowing us, just like He knew that lady, He never called her sinner, and He doesn't call us sinners. He said, this woman, and God will call you by who you are and what you will be more than what you used to be. Our God sees us for our today and our tomorrow, not our yesterday and our yesteryears. Jesus Christ, He can be worshiped right from where you are. Don't come in here with guilt from yesterday. Don't come in here ashamed from what you did, or condemnation, or what you did when you was 5 and 6 and how you hit your big brother. My God, Jesus Christ, He forgave her. Somebody say amen. He did what? He what? He forgave her. Now, I know you didn't miss this. Say BCC. This statement is not about Methodist, Presbyterian, Southern Baptist, non-denominational. This is not about that. This is about BCC. This is about who? This woman was expressive in her adoration and love for God. She was what? She was what? Everybody, she was what? She's crying. She's not holding back tears. She's crying. She does what is undignified. It's undignified to have her hair down. But she goes a step further, and she takes the hair and she wipes off His feet. She takes a fragrance, and the fragrance is worship. Say, fragrance is a worship. The Bible says it was a fragrance because worship changes the atmosphere of rooms. People who are worshipers change the atmospheres of rooms. That's why you can be in your cubicle. That's why you can be at your office. That's why you can be on your bus with your earbuds, and the song is, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. And the people around you be like, because wherever there are worshipers, you will change the atmosphere. God loves worshipers, and He's seeking people that will change the atmosphere. Change where you are. There might be bad going on, but when you begin to worship, God inhabits
the praises of his people. God comes to where you are when you worship him.
And I'm not going to leave it out. Jesus, sitting there at the table, tears are coming down her face, hair wiping it up. Tears is anointing them. Hair is wiping them. Tears is coming down. Hair is wiping them. Tears, what from what's inside of her, coming out on him. Hair of the head, wiping them and drying them. But the Bible says that she kissed his feet. She kissed his feet. And you saw the definition of the Greek word worship is to kiss with intimacy. And therefore she was worshiping Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the prophet, the good man, the man while everybody else was judging, they were haters in the room, but Jesus was the lover in the room. And therefore she was kissing his feet, and that is worship. And therefore Jesus looks up and says, this woman here, sinner, you know all of the Bible. This sinner here, everybody knows who she is. You've got a special invitation into your home. This woman here kisses my feet. You sitting there at to eat. I want you to understand, God gave her forgiveness of sins because of her faith in who Jesus was. Oh, I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go there. Woman of God, my spiritual daughter was worshiping the other Sunday just like that. Somebody in the congregation sees her going crazy, and my wife happened to hear what was said, and they said, what's wrong with her? She on cocaine? No, she's not on cocaine. She's on Christ's stand. And that's what we ought to be like in this house. I don't want to be stoic. I don't want to be stale. I don't want to be frozen. Could you go to the next screen for me? Keep playing, Peter, please. Go to the next screen. Stop right there. I gotta get this story out. If you stand, you run around, you need to go lay on the wall, whatever you need to do. I've gotta explain to you, I gotta tell everybody that's here and explain the prophetic. I've gotta explain the prophetic. This is a testimony. A testimony of my transformation. A testimony, not all of them. Can't even tell them all. This is a testimony. 16 weeks ago, starting today, 16 weeks ago, a transformation in my life happened. By this time, we had been to 3 or 4 services, 4 or 5 hours each. Doesn't mean you have to do that. It's just what I needed. We had done, we had fasted, we had prayed. God had done miraculous things like I can't even explain. And we decided to go get something to eat. Please listen to me. This is what I'm talking about for BCC. We went to a fast food restaurant. We went to a fast food restaurant, broke our fast. We ate out on the porch, and we were eating. We finished our meal. And after we finished our meal, listen to me, after we finished our meal, I was still hungry. So I stood up, and I asked the young man, I said, hey, I'm going to get another burger. Do you want one? He said, yeah. Now, this point I'm a little embarrassed about, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I looked across the parking lot, and I see this girl. And for whatever reason, I'm not looking for a girl or anything like that, but the embarrassment is that the reason I looked over the parking lot is because I wanted to get in line first. So I look over the parking lot, and I want to get in line first. So I see this girl coming in. And so I say, oh my goodness. I go into the side door, and for whatever reason, she gets there before me. Now, I can't ever remember her. I can't forget her. She had on a green headband. And she came in, and she got in two spaces before me. So I walked in, and I said, very nice. I said, man, you were really fast when you got in line. She says, oh, yeah, you know, and real sweet, you know. So, I mean, literally, I need Pastor Holly to come up here shortly. Her statue is about like Pastor Holly. Oh, you know, just real nice and all like that. She said, oh, I'm just really hungry, and I just really fast. I said, that's good. Never talked to her again. Got our burger. Night was over. We go to church the next day. Say God. Say God needs to speak prophetically to me. In order for God to speak prophetically to you, you've got to be open to receive it. You've got to be able to go be a little bit weird. You've got to be able to say, you know what? That wasn't an accident. That wasn't luck. You've got to say, oh my God. God, you're up to something. And as a result of that, a little fast food restaurant, getting a burger. We're in church the next day. And I happened to go in the lobby. I had no reason to be in the lobby. And the lobby was filled, ready to go to the service. And right there, the green headband little girl, she comes into the lobby, walks past. And I said, I'm just going to be nice. Went to tap her on the shoulder. Hi, that's all I said. Hi. She turned to me and said, are you here for a conference? I said, no, ma'am. She said, that's okay. I believe that your church has to be able to get worship and evangelism back together again, because it might be separated. And as a result of the worship and the evangelism is separated, God is not moving in it. And she began to prophesy over my life for the next 4 minutes, saying things to me that there's no way that that little girl can know me or have access to me. And prophesied for 4 minutes. And that 4 minutes was worth more than 40 days or 40 years anywhere else, because she broke through my heart. I got tears in my eyes. And you know, pictures are worth 1,000 words. There's the little girl right there. I told you she looked like Pastor Holly. The girl was so shorter than me. I said, ma'am, after you're done, could you just pray for me? She said, well, sir, can I put my hand on your shoulder? I said, yes, ma'am, please. Why am I telling you this story? That was just one tool and one instrument that God used to begin a transformation in my life. And I'm not going back. I'm not going back in Jesus' name. Here is the transparent truth. When she spoke that word, she ignored what I said and just started speaking. If you notice, the green headband is still on. When she began to start speaking, I knew the truth that our worship and our evangelism had a breach. There was brokenness in it. There's schisms in it. There's things that, you know, everything might look right, but everything don't feel right. And I began to come back and share this message. I began to share this hope that Jesus Christ wants us to reconcile between evangelism and worship. So what is the crossing bridge or bridge crossing? The bridge is what will cross us and bring the worship and the evangelism together so that God can be glorified, so that we begin to worship in one spirit and in one truth, and God will inhabit our praises. Somebody say amen. That's right. Let's clap. Let's stand. Thank you. Can I get the singers up here now? Please, singers come. Lights down. Singers up here now. Lights down. Keep going. Play. Go ahead and play. Choose the song. I think there's enough message. Come on, hands out of pockets. Get loose. Loosen up. Do whatever you need to do. I believe there's been enough word, and I believe there's been enough message to act upon what we've shared. So right now, can I get you to go three screens available? Three screens ahead, I think it is. Go ahead. Stop. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I don't want to have an altar call, but a worship call. Not an altar call, but a worship call. If you want to be found where you see in the Bible where it says that they that would worship him in spirit and in truth, I want to invite you to come to the front so that we can worship at least one song together. If you want to be found as a worshiper of God, if you want God to know that you are giving him a sacrifice of praise, this is not an altar call. This is a worship call. Are you willing to be expressive? Are you willing to let down your hair? Are you willing to give him all that you have? Are you willing to touch heaven because you know that Jesus is Lord? Don't be hesitant. Don't wait around on somebody else. Don't wait on those that know more than you. God wants us to worship. If you want to be a worshiper, you don't need somebody to touch you.